As most of you know, I was born, bred, schooled, and gainfully employed until the age of 31 in the great state of Texas. We bow our heads. Texas is a unique state with a unique geography, tradition, and above all, a unique history. A history filled with colorful characters and dramatic events. Perhaps best known of these stories is the story of the War of Independence, especially the Battle of the Alamo in San Antonio, my hometown, and the great histories, the great heroes of the war. James Bowie, William Travis, Davy Crockett, and Sam Houston. As you can see, I am a proud Texan. But when I moved to Virginia 25 years ago to study for the priesthood, I had to admit that I had come to a state with an even more remarkable heritage, which is a hard thing for a Texan to admit. But in all honesty, Texas' colorful history pales in comparison to the illustrious history of Virginia. And Crockett and Houston are midgets in comparison to the giants of Virginia, like Patrick Henry, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and of course, George Washington. Virginia has been a tremendously important state in the history of our nation, and so in the history of the world. And there can be no doubt that individual Virginians have profoundly changed and shaped that history. But Virginia and Virginians also have a terrible stain on their record. 200 years ago, they supported an institution so horrible that today we Virginians and all Americans still feel the guilt. The despicable institution of slavery. The treatment of a human being as less than human, and so without any basic human rights or dignity. How could such a great state, with such great statesmen, ever support this inhumane institution? Now, you can come up with lots of explanations. It was a different time, the effects of the culture, the economics, all these things. And you can argue that while Jefferson and Washington seemed to truly want to eliminate slavery, they found it impossible to do so without ripping the fragile Union of States apart, losing their historic chance to establish a government truly of we the people. You can make all those arguments and explanations. But then why did Jefferson and Washington continue to own their own slaves? Washington only freed his slaves in his will, and Jefferson didn't even do that. Now again, there are lots of reasons for this. I'm well aware of many of the different angles, so please don't stop me after Mass to educate me. I understand the history there. And understand this also. I am not trying to knock down these giants. These great and noble, these men did great and noble things, and those achievements they accomplished stand for themselves. But no matter how we look at it, no reasons, no historical anomalies eradicate the fact that slavery is now and always was and always will be a grave moral evil. And as great as these men were, no one could convince me that in 2016, Virginians would ever elect a Thomas Jefferson or George Washington to any public office if they were still around today, if Washington and Jefferson still supported slavery. We would not elect these great heroes. As we know, that one stain was not isolated in its effects, as it corrupted the whole society of the first part of the 19th century, warping the economic, social, and political systems, eventually leading to over 500,000 dead in a bloody civil war, which was followed by another years of the hatred and oppression of racism that we still bear the scars of even today. All because certain states and even certain great men in those states refused to recognize a particular class of persons as human beings with basic human rights. In 2 weeks, Virginians, along with all American citizens, will vote in our national election. But sadly, this year's election has been so marred by inexcusable failings of both major party presidential candidates that many people are very confused about who to vote for and may not vote at all. Both candidates are grossly flawed. As I said in a homily last week, a plague on both their houses. But we need to try to put this all in perspective. First, the last election in the United States that wasn't plagued by negative campaigning was the election of George Washington, who ran unopposed and was elected unanimously. He was called by everyone, even then, the father of our nation. He could have been king, but he supported the Republic. And so they all loved George. But when Jefferson ran against John Adams a few years later in 1800, you and I would still be shocked to read the accusations of crimes and gross immorality that were publicly thrown around by both candidates and their supporters. Very much like today, even really worse. But most importantly, whether we like it or not, one of this year's deeply flawed candidates, one of them, will be our next president. And so we have to find some way to determine, if it's possible, who is not as bad as the other. Now, we could go through each issue and each scandal trying to figure all that out. But in this election, that's very hard to do since the scandals on both sides are so horrible and it's difficult to tell exactly where the parties stand on particular issues, what they really mean when they say what they say. And it's also difficult to weigh the different issues among themselves, which is more important. If she's horrible in this and he's horrible in that, are there some things that are more important? It's very, very difficult to see. But what if there was one issue that we could see where exactly both candidates stood? An issue also that was almost by definition much more important than all the other issues put together. For example, what if one of the candidates seemed to have all the right answers, but one day came out and said that a certain group of people were inferior to others, not fully human beings with fundamental human rights? Who in their right mind would vote for that person? They would lose in a landslide, even if they were the second coming of George Washington. The thing is, there are candidates around today who say this very thing in the presidential race but also in the congressional races. But this time, the group they target is not people of African descent, but people of every color and ethnicity who have only one fatal defect. They live in their mommy's wombs. They are unborn babies. That's their only crime. That's their only defect. The one issue that is very clear is, of course, abortion. Imagine if a candidate came out and said black people were not persons, and that candidate defended a white man's right to choose to treat a black man as his property, or even the right to choose to lynch the black man. The whole country would be in an uproar, and no one would vote for that candidate. We'd all agree on that, absolutely. Why don't we have the same reaction to a candidate who says that unborn babies are not persons with rights, and that pregnant women have the right to treat them as their property, and even the right to choose to abort them, to kill them? Yet that is exactly what one candidate is saying in the presidential election, and what her running mate and all the other candidates from her party running for Congress in Virginia are saying as well. At last week's debate, That presidential candidate even defended her vote a few years back in the Senate, in which she supported partial birth abortion. She was one of only a handful of senators who voted to support partial birth. In other words, she stood there on national television last week, and she said that it's okay to abort a healthy baby who's 9 months full term as it's coming out of its mother's birth canal, as it's being born. You can kill it. That's what she said. That's what she defended. This is barbarism. Her opponent, on the other hand, amazingly gave a very cogent explanation of how he supported the dignity and right to life of unborn babies and promised to appoint pro-life Supreme Court justices. How ironic. The Democratic Party that once championed slavery now champions abortion, while the Republican Party that was founded to end slavery is now committed to end abortion. That's not a partisan comment. They're proud. Both of those people are proud of what they said. And I'm just repeating it. Is it ironic, or is it merely fitting? Jefferson and Washington were great men, and they gave birth to a great state and a great nation. But what made them great was the founding principle carved into the foundation of our history by Jefferson himself, as he wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." But in denying those self-evident truths as applying to Africans and their descendants, those otherwise great Virginians undermine the very thing that made for greatness and led our nation, our state, to disaster. And the same stands true today. As candidates present themselves to Virginians denying the self-evident truth, the inalienable right to life when it comes to unborn babies, how can we vote for these people? And how could you stay home and not vote against them? In today's gospel, we encounter the self-righteous Pharisee. The Pharisee seems in many ways to be a very good man. If Jesus says, he says that he's not greedy, dishonest, or adulterous, and he fasts twice a week, and he pays tithes from all his income. But he was also guilty of the sin of pride. And blinded by that pride, he couldn't see all the other sins that he was guilty of, because we're all sinners. No one can say there and say, "Thank God, I'm not like all the other sinners." And he stands in stark contrast to the penitent tax collector who humbly saw himself as he truly was. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." How many otherwise good Christians in the 18th and 19th century were blinded by either their noble ambitions for our nation, or simply by greed, or by the prideful sense of both moral and natural superiority over the black race, and so defended the practice of slavery? How blind were great men like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington to the great inhumanity called slavery? And how blind are Virginians today to the great inhumanity called abortion? Virginia is a state with rich traditions of noble courage and great heroic figures that forged our great nation. Even so, too many Virginians of times past, including our greatest heroes, were blinded by their times, culture, and fears, and yes, even blinded by their hopes for the future of America. But as time would tell, their hopes would never be fulfilled until all men were truly treated as if they were created equal, and treated as if they were endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, including life and liberty. On Tuesday, November 8th, I pray that we, Virginians, will live up to what was best in our forefathers. But I pray also that by the grace of Jesus Christ, we may see what they were so unpardonably blinded to. I pray that we will all be true heroes, authentic moral giants, defending the inalienable rights of all human beings, most especially the most fundamental right, the first right, the right to life. Praise be Jesus Christ.